J. Wilson.
Praise God. God bless you. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Let's say it again.
Amen.
Let's say it one more time.
Amen.
So glad to see you, everyone. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad to see you today. I'm glad to see you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to the Word of God in Genesis chapter 37, verses 18 through 35. 18 through 35. Now Joseph's brothers saw him from a distance, and before he reached them, they did what? Now who was this? His brothers. All right, let's make sure we got that straight. They said to one another, here comes this master of dream. Come now, let's kill him. Throw him into one of the cisterns, and then say that a wild animal ate him. Then we'll see how his dreams turn out. When Reuben heard this, he rescued Joseph from their hands by saying, let's not take his life. Reuben continued, don't shed blood. Throw him into the cistern that is here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this so he could rescue Joseph from them and take him back to his father. When Joseph reached his brothers, they stripped him of his tunic, the special tunic that he wore. Then they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. When they sat down to eat their food, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were carrying spices, balm, and myrrh down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. But let's not lay a hand on him, for after all, he is our brother, our own flesh. His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants passed by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. The Ishmaelites then took Joseph to Egypt. Later, Reuben returned to the cistern to find that Joseph was not in it. He tore his clothes, returned to his brothers and said, the boy isn't there. And where can I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a young goat, and dipped the tunic in blood. Then they brought the special tunic back to the father and said, we found this. Determine now whether it is your son's tunic or not. He recognized it and exclaimed, it is my son's tunic. A wild animal has eaten him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters stood by him to console him, but he refused to be consoled. No, he said, I will go to the grave mourning my son. So Joseph's father wept for him. Look at verse number 39, if you have it in your Bible. If you don't, look at it at the board. Verse 29. All right. You got it? All right. Look, listen to what it says. Now, by the way, this is from the NET. That's the New English Translation. Later, Reuben returned to the cistern to find that Joseph was not in it. My subject today is, if you come looking for me in the cistern or in the pit, I'm not there. You see that? Sometimes people put you in a hole or put you in a pit, and they think you're going to stay there. But when you come looking for me again, the Lord has done got me out of there. You put me in, but God's getting me out. And sometimes we put our own self in. But isn't that wonderful? Because God can get us out. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that wonderful? Woo! You go looking for me, but I'm gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You put me there, and you think I'm going to stay there just because you put me in and you put me down. And notice this. And in my research, I discovered that a cistern or a pit, in some versions, it says that these were common places. This was not uncommon. In Israel, if you've ever been, thank God I went once. I'm bragging a little bit. But if you go there, you'll discover that it's an arid country. Arid meaning that it's dry. It's deserty. It's kind of like Arizona and California. That's why I don't like out west. Praise the Lord. I like green. I like lush areas where it's, you know, you see the green and the, like, you get what I'm saying. And so it was a common thing to have these. And I hope you get this picture. Because in this life, as we walk about, as we do what we do in this life, it's a common thing for pits to be there. For pit hole falls to be around you. Amen. And if God don't help you to stay clear of them, you're going in one. And as horrible as it may seem, sometimes it is God's sovereign will and God's sovereign plan that you go into one of them pits. Somebody else say amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Where you know sometimes other folk put you in the pit, and sometimes you put yourself in the pit, But other times you say, Lord, why you got me down in this pit? Now you laughing, but that's exactly what happened to Job. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Now folks say the devil did it to Job, but I don't play that stuff. I don't mess around with the subordinates. The devil is a subordinate. God is the man. Somebody else say amen. God is the man. And when you call a company and you want to talk to somebody with some authority, you don't want to talk to the first person you get on the phone. They're just a subordinate. And that's why sometimes you have to say, may I speak with your supervisor? Now, when the supervisor don't please you, you can say, well, I really appreciate everything you've done for me, but maybe I need to speak with your manager. Hallelujah. You just keep going up. Because you don't want to talk to someone who can't make a decision to get something done that you need done. Amen. Somebody else say amen. Some people are just not empowered on the job to get things done. Am I right? You know that. Those of you in the corporate world have been on any job at all. Some people are empowered. The boss says, you know what? I'm going to empower you to make certain decisions because I don't need to get these phone calls. That was my job at Commonwealth Edison. And I worked for Commonwealth Edison for 26 years. When I first started, I started as what they call a junior jerk. It was a junior clerk, right? But that, you know how folks are. Folks ain't going to leave you with the job. They're going to give you another title. Isn't that right, Charles? You may be a truck driver, but they're going to call you a carton man, a carton specialist. You're just carting stuff around. Praise the Lord. Anyway, my job was I went from the junior jerk all the way up to what was called customer relations. My job entailed that if you got an $8,000 electric bill, $10,000 electric bill, $50,000 electric bill, you were out of the league for the rest regular customer service people. There was no way that they were going to make an adjustment unless it was really, really obvious that somewhere there was a decimal point out the way. But if there was no obvious error, it had to go up the ladder. And when it reached me, they hadn't gone past the rep, past the supervisor, past the manager. And when they got to me, I was the next step in line before it went up any higher into the executive branch. So when I got the phone call, I had a script. They may have gotten to the office of the executive, the president or the vice president, and they get the secretary or their assistant, as they are called. At that point, they would take all information and then they will say, Mr. O'Connor, that was the president at the time, is not available right now, but I'm going to have Mr. Clifford Wilson call you right away and he's going to solve your problem. That's how it happened. And when I got it, I said, hello. Yes, sir, Mr. O'Connor has asked me, or sometimes, I take that back. She would say, I will call Mr. Wilson and he will call you. And when the secretary assistant would call me, I don't care what I was doing. I stopped what I was doing and took all the information. And then I would call them immediately. As soon as I hung up from her, I'd look over it, get the name, call them right back. Sometimes I would call. They didn't tell me I need to call them right back. They didn't tell me that. She didn't say, Cliff, could you just stop everything and call him? She said, no, Mr. O'Connor received a call from this Mr. Could you call him? Yes. She didn't tell me when. She just said, could you? But it was understood. It was understood. I have free will. Yes, sir. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I have free will. But I had, and I had to choose. I had the will to choose. But experience and wisdom told me if I like this position and I like this salary, I need to make a decision. And I'm empowered to lay everything down and call. And that's what I would do. Hey, hello, sir. Mr. whoever you are, the president of whatever company you are, because that's usually who got those people. You couldn't call and get Mr. President. That's not one of you in here going to even get through to that office. I'm telling you. But it's those people who they play golf with. And they call and say, hey, my name is so-and-so, I am president of, oh, yes, sir, the moment they say it. Listen, how many of you understand what I'm saying, that is life? You just got to grin and bear it. Hello? Praise the Lord. We are the peons, if you will, Sister Carolyn, whether or not we like it, no matter what you say, if you got a modicum intelligence and you want to live your life so that you're not frustrated and completely, completely, completely discouraged with all of life, you guys got to recognize, Shirley, that there's some folk you ain't going to get a hold of. That's why when you come home from the job, you yell at your wife. Or you yell at your husband. You take it out of somebody else. Because you can't get to the person you want to get to. I don't care how bad you think you is. And if you do get to him, it's by some freak accident. And you better say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Instead of thinking, yeah, I'm bad. Yeah, I called the president. I got him. I bet you won't get him again. In any case, my job was to call him and say, listen, I received a call from, I didn't say from his secretary. Now, I said, Pastor, you're not even supposed to lie, you know. Well, I wasn't lying. By implication, she is him. She might as well be, because I don't want to get a call from him. I'm like the children of Israel. Moses, you talk to God. I don't want to talk to God. Do y'all get what I'm trying to say? I know it's a little humorous, but I'm trying to get you to understand what I'm saying. So when I called back, I said, Mr. So-and-so, whoever you are, I received a call from Mr. O'Connor. I received a call from Mr. Executive Vice President. I received a call from the attorney's office for Commonwealth Edison. And I'm calling you to help you to resolve whatever the issue is. Can you please? And I'm telling you, I didn't. Tell me what's wrong. I said, could you please help me so I can help you? What is it that I can do for you? Please, sir. About 15 pleases and sirs and all that stuff. Why? Because when it's all said and done, I don't want this man to get another call. Or if it's another call, it says, you know that Mr. Wilson was, thank you so much. He's a real asset to your company. Praise the Lord. Now, a lot of folks are looking and saying, oh, you just a sellout. Yes, that's what I am. I'm going to sell out, keep on selling out. As long as they keep on giving me that check. I'm going to sell. Shoot. Zanya? Praise the Lord. It's important that you understand. So if you're looking for me in the pit, I'm not going to be there. Praise the Lord. Because God is going to empower me to get out of that pit. Now you say, I thought you were already empowered. Yes, we are. But our power at this point is relying upon the power of God. The power that you have is the empowerment to be able to say God. Do you realize that sinners can't say God in the same way you can say God? You got the power to say, as the old folks says, I got a telephone to glory. What joy divine. Hallelujah. I can hear the Father when he comes on the line. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let me get to this word now. Now, that's kind of an introduction to where I want to go. I know it's how all that other stuff wasn't a part of it, but you got the message. Real briefly, by way of a historical context, where we are in this passage is the beginning of, if you will, God's design to display his power. And I say it like this, but it's not necessarily as strong as I'm going to put it, but it is by implication or by as a collateral part, not he saves the world. You get what I'm saying? See, God has a plan. His plan is to bring honor to himself. And in doing that, he saves you. Amen. It's like when Jesus came down, the Bible says through his suffering, he learned obedience. And because he was obedient to God, his Father, Jesus came down in obedience to God, his Father. Because it's not like a lot of times preachers said, Jesus said, prepare me a body, and I'll go down and I'll say amen. No, it's not like that. Jesus didn't say prepare me a body. He said a body thou hast prepared for me. God prepared the body. It's God's plan. The plan of salvation originated with God. Of course, Jesus is a part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But when Jesus came, he was in obedience to the Father. And because of his obedience, the Bible says, God says, this is my beloved son, Donald J. Trump. Hear him. Nobody don't want to hear that, do they? Huh? Nobody don't want to hear that. You know why? Because we're not looking at things where God is looking at it. The Bible says he sees those things, and we should see those things that are not. But sometimes our pit will hold us down and keep us down. And pit, and we can't see no more than this little pit that we're in. And we can't see the mighty plan of God. Woo! Lord Jesus, I don't want to get too excited. But the story is that Jacob, y'all, I don't want to go too far back, but Jacob was the progenitor of the children of Israel. Children of Israel, meaning there were 12 sons, which is known as the 12 tribes of Israel. And of those 12 sons, one of them was named Joseph. And the name that we have here is Joseph and Reuben. They were brothers. They were two of the 12 brothers. There were sisters, but these were the two of the 12 brothers. Y'all know that? Okay. All right, so now, some preachers preach, and I'm not going to say all this, that there was some favoritism in the family. That's a perspective that they get by what happened in the story, in the narrative. I don't want to say that because that's not what I'm dealing with. All I want to say is this, is that Joseph had a special coat. It's called a cloak or a tunic that was made by his father especially for Joseph. And Joseph was chosen by God. And then many times in your family, there's someone who's chosen by God. You understand? Some of your other brothers and sisters, they're called, but they may not be chosen. Does that make sense to you? And those who are chosen are given a special place with God simply because he chose them. I don't have anything to do with that. I can't do a thing about it. Just because your wife is prettier than mine don't mean nothing. Praise the Lord. Don't tell me to stop talking, I'm preaching. Understand? What I'm trying to say to you is, just because I'm a hunk and you're not a hunk, don't be upset. Are you with me? These are the little things that we get so upset about, and we go and spend billions of dollars trying to look like somebody they put an image on the television, and we're trying to look just like them. And what I'm trying to get you to understand is you are who you are, and you were made who you are by God. Now, some of us understand that. And so since I have some deficits, I don't have a PhD in theology or MD in theology, I have to do a whole lot of reading. But I do all my reading, it helps me out a little bit. So what I'm saying is, I have to use what I got. Yes, sir. Because I don't have what they got. Yes, sir. Are you listening to me? Yes, sir. So perhaps your body is a little bit out of shape. But God has so given us wisdom, and somebody said, hey, all you got to do is just get on this treadmill. Yeah. And you may have to sweat a little bit more than he does to get there. Right. Are you with me? Yeah. Work with what you got. Stop looking around in that pit and thinking that that's all that's there. Because the next time you come to see me, I'm going to be gone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me? Amen. And I'm sorry. But y'all get what I'm trying to say? And so the story is that they were jealous. How many know what we're thinking about jealous? In our community, we call it the crab in the barrel syndrome. If you start to get out, somebody said, thank God for my pit. It's my pit, and there ain't no more crabs in there. So when it's time for me to get out, I'm getting out of my pit. I don't have to worry about the crab pulling me back because I'm the only one in my pit. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you worried about you the only one down in here. Way down yonder by myself. You better thank God that you're by yourself. Praise God. So you don't have nobody to distract you. Nobody or nothing to distract you. Praise God. Are you with me?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I know y'all can't take notes right now, but buy the CD. I promise you it'll be there. And so as we go on, the story was is that they were jealous. His brothers were jealous. And they were jealous simply because he had some dreams. Now listen to me. Remember I said the difference between a daydream and a night dream? A daydream, you control what's happening. And a night dream, you don't have any control. Anybody ever been in a night dream when you were trying to get away?
Yes.
And you were running in slow motion? You're trying to get away. And you can't run any faster. Right? In a daydream, you just, well, come on. You become Bruce Lee. You tap some stuff. Amen. But a night dream, you don't have any control. I promise you, I'm going to get to this. So the story goes on. So the story is that they put him down in a pit because they were jealous. And so, but let me just back up just a little. They had these dreams, and these dreams was that he was one day going to be the head of everybody. Now, you got to remember, in the Jewish culture, or even in an antiquity culture, the person who was born first is the man. You understand? And Reuben, the other guy that we talked about, he was the firstborn. So he had everything to lose. You understand? If they killed his brother and his daddy found out, he would lose everything. Someone once said to me, if you're going to mess around, Clifford, don't mess around with somebody who don't have as much to lose as you do.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't go around messing around with no little rooty-pooped prostitute. You better try to get somebody, if you're going to cheat on your wife, get someone like Jackie Onassis or somebody. Don't mess around with someone who don't have near as much to lose as you do. That's why I'm saying, isn't it? But the problem is, whoever told you that sin was wise?
That's right.
There is no wisdom in sin.
That's right.
It sounds good, but it never works.
Yeah.
Sometimes you mess up and you look at somebody and say, well, what? He left his wife for that? Hello? Have you ever heard someone say that? You mean to tell me? She left him for, or he left her. Vice versa. But he was going to be the man. Going to be the top. So he had a lot to lose. But he had no backbone. He had no backbone. Now remember what I said earlier. According to culture, that's the way it was. But in God's economy, in God's agenda, it doesn't matter if you were born number one or number 20. Hello?
Amen.
Y'all remember a story about a guy by the name of David? He was not nowhere near the firstborn. As a matter of fact, he was so far down the line, they had forgot all about him. He's the run, that's right. Said, look, he said, don't you got somebody else? Oh, yeah, we got David, but we just got David out there, but he's just out there. Send for him. We're going to wait. Why? Because God's agenda has nothing to do with the plan of man. So you may put me in the hole, but God has me down there. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. I'm trying to tell you something that's going to encourage you today. You may put me in the pit, but when you come back, I'll be out of there. And so that's where we are. We're coming up to where all the older guys, they had the important jobs of keeping the sheep and going someplace. And so Jacob said to his number, the second of the knee baby, the second youngest child, Joseph, and said, go out and see about your brothers and see what's happening. Bring me news. And so he said, okay, daddy. You know how it is when you were young and you wanted to drive. You finally got your driver's license. You want me to go to the store? Oh, yeah. You'll drive anywhere.
Yes.
You're so happy to have your driver's license. You'll drive to the dog pound. just to get in that car. Am I right? So that's how Joseph was. He was eager to get down to see his brother. But the Bible says when they saw him coming, we saw it right there. And that's how it is with us. We are so happy to get with our brothers and sisters, and sometimes we get with them, hey, sister! Yeah, what's up? I remember when I used to talk to people like that all the time. Oh, he just got saved. Oh, he's new. Why? Because they don't recognize or they don't want to recognize the call of God upon your life. Because when God calls you, he calls you to be the kind of person he wants you to be. And when you're like that, the scripture says that it's like if you believe on him, like the spirit says, out of your what? Belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So no matter if you go to the Catholic church, they say, praise the Lord, kneel. You kneel, come up, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Kneel. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. You never discourage. And you can sit there and listen to the priest, and he may be going with all kind of intellectual stuff, but you're going to hear something in there about Jesus. And you're going to hear something in there going to say, amen. What you said, Pastor, even though it's the devil, absolutely. Because the devil did tell Jesus some truth, didn't he? He says, isn't it written that he give his angels charge over you? He might have been misquoting and quoting out of context, but he quoted. And that's what Paul said. He said, listen, some people are preaching Christ out of anger and hate for me. That'll make it worse for me. Some people are preaching Christ because of filthy lucre, for money. But whatever reason they're preaching, what happened? Amen. Yeah, some folk get all upset because on television they start talking about the bad things and trying to make Christians, portray Christians in a bad light. Hello, they said Jesus, that's enough of me. Y'all heard me, didn't you? Now that's an example for y'all. Been married for 43 years, you said, she said jump, you said how high, where, when and where? That's all. And if she's a good one like mine, she will never let you know that she's in control. You're just doing it. She lets you think you're the boss. And everybody's happy, ain't it right? Now, I ain't talking to y'all who ain't been married but 2 minutes. I'm talking about the you haven't learned yet. You haven't learned yet. Praise the Lord. You got to learn. All right, here we go. I just feel that good today.
Amen.
You know why? Because the enemy has been trying to attack me. I wake up every morning, my throat is so sore. Every day it's been like this. Hardly move around and do anything. And so I had to go to a funeral on a Friday morning, and I said, Lord, I know they're going to want me to sing. And I got up and I went, and man, the man said, sing a song. I hit a note I haven't hit in a long time. And man, I was singing. Praise the Lord. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit at a funeral. At a film, and praise God. And so I'm grateful that I can talk. Amen? Okay. So now we get to this main point here. So when they saw his brother coming, then Judas said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill him? Because they had already decided when they saw him, they were going to kill him. They were going to try and kill him. Okay? So when they were coming, praise the Lord. Reuben said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's throw him down in a pit. So that's what they did. Let's go back to it. Are we there? Verse what? 18. Let's go back to 18 real quick. Now Joseph's brother saw him from a distance. And before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Now, I don't want to spend too much time, but you see, that's it. Is that good enough for you? When they saw him from a distance, they didn't have to wait for him to get there. No matter what was on their mind before they saw him, when they saw him, that was it. And how many of you have ever experienced something like that? When the enemy wanna bring you down, you can see something coming from a distance. You don't have to be close, but he wanna get you down. And so they saw him. He saw him from a distance. Now, how many know that the enemy was in this? Yeah, he was in this. But more than anything else, he was still a subordinate. Don't forget this. Don't ever forget that. Even though the enemy was there, he's a subordinate. Y'all know what a subordinate means? He got to obey somebody else. There's somebody over him. So they plotted to kill him. Now, I need you to understand what they said. Here's what they said one to another. Here comes this master of dreams. Come on, let's kill him. Throw him into one of these cisterns, into one of these pits, and they say that a wild animal may eat him. And I'm sorry, didn't they say, we'll say that a wild animal ate him. Mm-hmm. Then we'll see how his dream do what?
Turn out.
I want to see what's going to happen with them dreams now. Because in the dreams, he had told them, and they knew what they meant. So they was trying to kill his dream. They were kind of, okay, so we'll do this and see if it's. Listen, I'm telling you right now that the Christian church is under an attack from the enemy. And they're trying to assassinate our character. That's why they portray Christians on television shows and in movies. They make us look like weaklings or biased bigots or homophobic. You understand? All these things they try to make us, they are assassinating our character. They're trying to destroy what God has already said. See, but the problem is they don't understand the dream didn't come from Joseph. It was a night dream. And a night dream, he had no control. God was speaking to him in the dream. You hear what I'm saying to you? And when God starts speaking in a dream, listen to me, you got to understand this whole story is when God has given you something in a dream, if he's already designed, if he's already ordained, if he's already appointed, praise God, there's nothing that the enemy can do to stop it. That's why some people say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't be telling people about your plans. Listen, the plan didn't originate with me. Understand? So I want God to get all the glory. I want him to get all the glory. Every inch of it. Every moment of it. Every detail. God should see it and God should get the glory. Yeah! Yes, sir. Yeah, God has given us a project that's a million times bigger than we are. But it's not big as God. And I'm not going to let anybody stop me from telling my dream. You understand what I'm saying to you today? So the Bible says, they said they want to kill him. And so we go to the verse 22. Reuben continued, "Don't shed blood. Throw him into the cistern that's here in the wilderness. But don't lay a hand on him." Now in parentheses it says, "But Reuben said this so he could rescue Joseph from them and take him back to his father." His idea was, let them do what they want to do, but I got a better plan. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to me very carefully. That was very noble. It was very noble. And it was a good thing, right? Yes. Let's give him a do. But guess what? It was not God's plan. Yes. Your plan may be noble, but it's not God's plan. Amen. You may march all day long talking about we're going to take it back. You ain't going to take nothing back. And if you're not careful, you won't even be able to get your own step back. You may put it out, and that's to be the last step you take. Are you listening to me? I'm being honest and I'm trying to tell us what we are, because the truth is what's going to make us free. We're under the illusion that somehow or another we have some kind of idea to do what we want to do. Let me just get to this part and then you'll understand what I'm trying to say. Lord Jesus, help me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to read this to you because this is how it started out to me. Reuben returned into the pit, and he seems to have destined, and this is verse number 39, I believe it is. Reuben returned into the pit. He seems to have designingly taken a circuitous route with a view of secretly rescuing the poor lad from a lingering death by starvation. His intentions were excellent, and his feelings no doubt painfully lacerated when he discovered what had been done in his absence. But the thing was for God, who had designed that Joseph's deliverance should be accomplished by other means than by Reuben's. Okay, now. Here's me. This is what I wrote. That was some research that I did, and this is what I wrote. In reading the entire story of Joseph, especially the troublesome years, I've been encouraged to see the omnipotent, sovereign hand of God in every detail. I've long been of the perspective that the doctrine and teaching of the sovereign free will agency of man up to now is not adequately defensible in Scripture and flawed, to say the least. Now, this is all me. Just hear it out, and then you can think about it and do what you will. These words from this quote above helps to illustrate my point. But the thing was of God, who had designed that Joseph's deliverance should be accomplished by other means than by his. Reuben wanted to save his brother, but his decision was overruled by God. as he used the evil jealousy of his other brothers for the eventual good of the entire nation. Listen to this carefully. The freedom of choice, the free will of man are two of the phrases quoted to establish a principle believed to be sovereignly endowed by God, our Creator, on every individual human being. I am cautiously of the opinion that man is sovereignly limited in his will and power to freely make choices. I believe God sovereignly wills for us to choose or so influences our choices according to his divine will and purpose. Are you with me? Therefore, the results of our free will, choices, or decision-making is inevitably and will always be for his honor and glory alone. Hallelujah. And it also reflects his ordained design, will, and purpose. Throughout the whole process, whatever it is that's happening in our lives, thanks be to God, his plan always works for the good of those whom he has sovereignly chosen to love him and called for his purpose. Now, how many of you dare say that God didn't sovereignly choose you to love him?
Yes.
Didn't he do so?
Yes.
Didn't he do so?
Yes.
Some people used to say when I was a kid, the Lord saved me because he knew I wanted to be saved. And I used to always sit there and think as a young boy, I don't know if I wanted to be saved. I don't know if I wanted to be saved. Because I was having too much fun not being saved. Somebody else tell the truth. Come on. What the world has to offer is a lot of fun, isn't that right, bro? Now, come on. I enjoyed it while I was out there. I really did. And I didn't think, I thought about God, but I said, okay, God, if you could just wait just a minute. If you could just hold off coming till I get married. That was after I got saved and I couldn't do the stuff I used to do. But after I got saved, now listen, by the way, we need to learn how to just understand sex is what God created.
Amen.
So there's nothing evil about sex. I enjoyed sex when I was unsaved. Look how quiet you got. Look how quiet you got. I did. But there's always a guilt feeling that associated it. Until after a while, the guilt kind of got way, 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 way pushed back. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And listen to me, that guilt would not have come forward except God sovereignly brought it forth into your consciousness to make you sad and make you convicted of that sin.
Yes.
That's the only way it happened.
Thank you, Lord.
There was nothing good that you did. Praise God. So our free will choice, praise God, was because God had ordained you to be saved. When did he do it? The scripture says in the book of Ephesians, according to Paul, he says, I was chosen in him when? Before he said, let there be light. And because he chose me, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful. I have an attitude of gratitude. Because if God had not chose to bring conviction for sin on your life, you'll sit here and listen to me until you're blue in the face, until I'm blue in the face, and you will never hear it. Because the Bible says he gave some the spirit of stupor so that hearing they would not hear. Seeing they could not see, they were blind. So you're sitting here, and every Sunday you sit here, if you're not getting any closer to God, if the Holy Spirit is not speaking to you about your sin, you better start crying. And I say that because I'm feeling sorry for you, but you can't even start crying unless God allows you to cry. Because the scripture says godly sorrow is work of repentance. That's why you're here. Don't be playing around with God. And scripture says in the day that you hear my voice, don't play around and harden your heart. Because you may not get another chance. You may not get another chance. You don't never know when that line is drawn. When you reject God every time and the Spirit of God comes and Holy Ghost bring conviction for sin. And while you sit here listening to me, he telling you about stuff in your life.
Right.
Stuff that I didn't even mention. Stuff that I don't even know about. But while I talk, he says, you remember that? Are y'all hearing me? Hallelujah. Throughout the whole process, thanks be to God, his plan also works for the good of those whom he has sovereignly chosen to love him and called according for his purposes. Regardless of the actual situation or our perspective of the circumstances, we, through faith, which we are sovereignly endowed with, are confidently assured that everything is working out to our advantage and for our good. Hallelujah. Now, all of this was my introduction, really, before all that other stuff, so that we could see how being in that pit was from God.
Yes.
Being in that hole was from God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because some of us won't listen to God until we get in the hole.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen, what was even more blessed, look, is that some of us, God can't speak to us until he put us in the hole. Give me some.
Right.
Don't leave me. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Sometimes we just won't listen to God. Put us down in the hole.
That's right. That's right.
And when we're in that pit, it's almost like he's saying, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I'm afraid that that's the situation with a lot of God's people. I'm going to stop because my time is up. I'll finish this the next time I preach to you. But my subject is, you may put me in the hole, but when you come back, I'll be gone. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
How many of you had that experience?
Hallelujah.
And those who have had the experience can be a witness to those who are sitting here right now who's in a pit. How many is in a pit would just say, Lord, I'm in a pit. And what I mean by that is you're in a situation where you don't see no way out. And it's not a place of where you want to be. It's very uncomfortable, whatever that pit is. Hallelujah. I want to say to you two things. Maybe you're in there because God want to talk to you. Or the other one is that maybe God want to elevate you. Praise God. So by the time you get out of this pit, you'll know how to act. You won't get out of the pit saying, oh yeah, I'm a wonder worker. Hallelujah. I got the power. You won't be called and say, oh, I'm working miracle. You'll be speaking with humility. Like that brother was speaking the other night. God sovereignly. I had nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, I was surprised when I drove up in the lot on Sunday night. Something was going on. I didn't even know. God was doing stuff. I had no idea what he was doing. But all I know is God that's doing it. God, the Lord's working is marvelous in our eyes. Stand with me, please. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I know y'all don't know this, but there's an old hymn. But just kind of listen to the chorus.